Hello everyone, good morning. A warm welcome to all of you, especially to Yaku, his dear wife, Karen, Christian and Lizelle. You know, I thought I'd remembered everyone's names, but obviously not. So, but just a warm welcome to all of you this morning. Nicholas as well, for visiting us here from New Rest. Welcome. And for those I haven't seen since I've been away. Now, Maurice is not here. Maurice was going to do intercession, but he's not well. So let's pray for him and let's lift up our prayers to the Lord this morning. And for everybody else that you know that's not well, that's sick, and that needs the Lord's touch. Father, we want to come before you and we are grateful that we can approach your throne of grace. So this morning we bring Maurice before you. We pray that you would touch him, that you would bring healing and restoration. We pray for all in our congregation that is not well, that are suffering or going through some kind of thing, anything which is bothering them, Lord. So we lift our congregation to you. We lift our community to you, Lord. We lift Wellington and its surrounding areas to you. Lord, your people have many needs. This community has many needs, Lord. Lord, would you be merciful and reach your hand. Reach out your hand. Touch us. Restore us. Bring new life, new hope. We pray for all those who have responsibility in the community. Teachers, members, the councils, the police, hospitals, staff. Lord, you know what we need. You know it even before we ask. We pray for those who are hungry right now. Lord, would you work in the hearts of those who have to give? That we would not just hold things to ourselves, but that we would share with others. Be merciful on your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I've already welcomed everyone. Yaku, I'm going to ask you to come forward and just share with us what you've prepared.
Good morning, friends. Can I say family? It's wonderful. Thank you for inviting us into your lives. It's really a privilege to be here. And allow me a couple of snippets into us, Andrew Murray. We are part of BEDISA, and BEDISA stands for Barmhartigheid, Dienst en Saam. So it's compassion together and what is the other one? Service. And that is so typical of what I'm seeing in this church, for reaching out to us, to these 13 beautiful daughters. Thank you for trying to share the life of the love of Christ into a house. BEDISA has got 131 programs, predominantly focusing on old age, but there's a couple of substance abuse programs, there's a couple of mental disability programs, and then in the group of five children homes, of which as Andrew Murray is one. How our facilities are structured is that we got 12 houses here in Wellington, and then we got 6 houses in Mariesburg as well, which we look after. And each of the houses, we got 6 boys' houses and 6 girls' houses, and this house is Gravilia, and this is the daughters that this congregation had said they will try and help us to raise them to live in the glory of the King. Our dream and our focus at House Andrew Murray is predominantly accept the education, accept the food, accept the warm bed. Our efforts are in vain if we do not get them to meet Christ. And this is where you actually come in. So, thank you for being a friend. You're welcome to, where's Lizelle? Lizelle, stand go up, then people can just see you. She's the coordinator for this house. So, and then Karen as well. Karen, yeah. So if you want to get involved in the house, and then more important than anything else, Tani Morisel, staan jy op. Jy moet opstaan. She's the house mother there looking after that kids. Can I ask that we give her a round of applause? And then all the lovely children, kan julle allemaal vir ons opstaan? Kom staan gaan. En omkyk that everybody sees all these beautiful faces. Ek dink is 10 vir oggend aan die Morisel. Hoeveel is julle 10 kinders hier? 2, 4, 6, 8, 11. Thank you very much for inviting us. And thank you for pushing up your hand to come and minister to us. What we need at Andrew Murray is not necessarily money. These kids have all been removed by a court order. That's how they end up in the CYCC. And they need dads. They need mums. They need examples. So just come and share your love. Pop in whenever you want. And thanks again for the opportunity. Thanks to worship with you.
Thank you, Yaku. Thank you so much, Yaku. Make me a little softer, please. Maybe that's a good prayer. Lord, make me a little softer. Julle is baie welkom hier. Kyk nou na die kinders. Is lekker om julle te sien. Sê my, wie verstaan nie Engels nie? Ek praat met die kinders. Almal verstaan Engels, nie. So ek gaan net nou 'n bietjie Engels praat, nie. Maar ek praat nog met julle ook. Ek wil graag hoor, julle moet ook hoor. So, I'm so glad that you are here this morning. I'm going to go into my text before I get distracted. And I actually want to finish early so that we can have some time together. Ons 'n bietjie kan praat, daar's 'n paar geskenkies of goedertjies wat gekollekteer is wat ons vir die kinders wil gee. So ons wil dit na die diens met julle deel en vir julle gee, okay? Let's start with the sermon. So we're looking at Mark chapter 10 from verse 13 to 22. Mark chapter 10 from verse 13 to 22. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Father, would you bless the reading of your word and our meditation on it now? May we hear your voice and now already commit to be obedient to what you teach and hold before us. Amen. You see, dear friends, today we gather not just for a church service, but what I believe is really a kingdom moment. As children are welcomed and adopted in love by this congregation, and as social workers, carers, staff, families surround them, I want you to see that we are actually living in a kingdom moment. You see, it's in this gathering that we reflect the heart of Christ. Jesus, who embraced children, he lifted the lowly, And he turned the world's values on its head. And so as we turn to Jesus' words in Mark 10, where he receives children, blesses them, and sets them before his disciples as an example of what it means to belong to the kingdom. Now, I think most of us would agree that we live in a world that values power, that values achievement and intellect. But Jesus points to a child, vulnerable, dependent, and trusting. And he says, be like this. In other words, if you want to understand what it means to walk with me, look here. Look at the child. Our text in Mark 10 then moves on. It moves from Jesus blessing children to challenging a rich man and his disciples with what it really means to follow him. And from this passage, we learn four truths. We learn four truths about discipleship and about the kingdom of God. And it's those four truths that I would like you to hear this morning. Those four spiritual truths about discipleship and the kingdom of God. Firstly, discipleship begins with receiving. Now, children are very good at receiving. If those of you, as it were, julle weet hoe om te ontvang, nee. Julle was ook kinders gewees, you were also children, don't look so surprised. Yeah, children are good at receiving. You see, when people brought children to Jesus, the disciples tried to turn them away. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Then he added, anyone who will not receive, listen, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You see, discipleship begins not with achieving or understanding, but with receiving. That's how discipleship starts. Receiving. Like children, receiving, being open, dependent, and trusting. And so we need to come to God with empty hands. Open to receive. Let us not come to him with our accomplishments. And when we look at the child, we see that this is a posture of humility. Very often when we look at children, we see immaturity. It's actually a posture of humility that Jesus is pointing to. And so we need to trust, ask questions, and live dependently, not only on God, and this may be a shocker, but on one another. The very opposite of what the world holds forth as being successful, independence. The first act of a disciple is not to do, but to receive the grace and love of Christ. That's the first thing. You see, discipleship is not mainly or primarily about knowing more or even doing more. It's about being formed. It's about being changed, shaped into people who reflect the life and character of Jesus, who reflects his life and reflects his priorities. And this involves integrity. This integrity I'm talking about is the consistency between what we believe and what we live, what we believe and what we do. And just as a note, you know, I've been on a trip, and those of you who were here last year, no, I did the trip, and I had a breakdown on the bike. For those of you who don't, I traveled almost 6,500 kilometers, a round trip to Malawi and back. And then 300 kilometers before home, the vehicle broke. The bike broke down. Problem with the universal joint, the drive shaft broke. And just as a motorcycle's performance reveals the quality of care it receives, so our daily lives reflect the depth of our relationship with Christ. Think about that. That our daily lives, what we do and say and how we live, reflects our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus never said, go and make Christians. Those are not his words. He said, go and make disciples. And a disciple learns not just by listening, but by walking, by being with the teacher. And following Jesus means entering into a journey of continual change, of continual transformation, where the destination is not just the place, but it's really a way of life. It's how we live our life. That's the first principle. Discipleship begins with receiving. The second spiritual truth is that the kingdom of God is lived in the ordinary. Die koninkryk van God word ervaar in die alledaagse, in die gewone. You see, after blessing the children, Jesus is approached by a rich man, asking him how to inherit eternal life. And then he comes and he has a very impressive religious resume. His CV is great. All these things that he's not done, and the things that he has done, from the time he was a boy. And Jesus then lovingly challenges him to let go of his wealth and follow. But we see that the man walks away sad. And this moment reminds us that the kingdom of God isn't about outward success or wealth. It's about trust and it's about surrendering. You see, the kingdom is found in the everyday. When we show kindness, when we open our homes, when we forgive one another, and when we commit to loving children in our community. This is how discipleship is lived. In the quiet choices that carry the heartbeat of Christ. Every day. You see, children don't posture and pretend the way adults do. I should say, the way adults often do. Not adults don't always do it. But they do it a lot. Children tend to ask sincere questions. And sometimes they make statements that are true, but not always appropriate. In other words, some child could very easily, when they are hugged by uncle or an aunt, say, "Sis must say, awesome stink. His breath is smelling," and loudly. The adult is trying to be affectionate and kind and loving, and the child doesn't reject, he's just saying what it sees. They tend not to posture and to pretend. And they trust instinctively. They live in the moment. And they are also deeply dependent on others. Now, again, this is not about spiritual immaturity. All about immaturity, but about spiritual honesty. And so we are called to let go of pride, to live with openness, with curiosity, and relational dependence on God, on Christ, and others, one another. The first principle, discipleship begins with receiving. The kingdom of God is lived in the ordinary. And the third one is that discipleship multiplies through relationship. When Jesus says, "Follow me," it's not a solo journey. You're not following Jesus alone. It's a life of relationship. We learn, we grow, and we multiply as disciples in community. You see, Jesus' disciples were not shaped by sermons alone, but by the life they shared with Christ. His life that was shared with them. Conversations on the road, meals together, questions, mistakes that were made. And so, too, with us, that discipleship is and has to be relational. It has to be practical. And it has to be intentional. I want to ask you about your relationships. Do you relate to others? Do you have connection with other people? Because I want to say, if you do not, I want to question whether you are being discipled if you have no relationship. And I want to question if you are discipling if you have no relationship, no connection with people. Are you in a place to hear? Firstly, are you in a place to receive? And are you in a place to give? And so, one of the things also that I want to point out to you this morning is that welcoming a child is not a symbolic act. It's relationship. It's relational. It's relational discipleship. When a child is welcomed and loved and discipled, the kingdom of God grows. I want to tell you that one adult's presence in the life of a child can echo for generations. Jesus doesn't just tell us to be like children. He commands us to welcome them. In Matthew 18, he says, Matthew 18 verse 5, he says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." To welcome the child is to welcome Christ. So when a church commits to supporting children in need, and as Jacob pointed out this morning, I hope you heard that. The greatest need is not the money. It's not the food. It's not the clothes. All those things are helpful. Oh, food very much so. But all those other things that you'll get. But the relationship. The fact that children can have someone to go to. Someone to call on. Someone to know, well, that's my uncle. That's my uncle. And he's there for me. Well, that's my aunt. She's there for me. And we're not negating that they may have parents. Ons gaan julle die plekke van julle mammies en julle pappies invat nie. Ons kan hulle nie vervang nie. We can't do that. That's not our intention. But we want to be available to them. When we commit to supporting children in need, in other words, emotionally, socially, doing things together, spiritually and materially, it becomes a living testimony of the kingdom of God. And so discipleship is not abstract. It's not an academic exercise. It's not about remembering stuff. It's deeply relational. It's lived out in how we care for the vulnerable, how we open our homes, how we open our hearts, how we speak, how we serve, and how we sacrifice. I believe that the kingdom of God grows where love is practiced, actually lived out, and where relationships are deep. And relationships aren't necessarily formed in this kind of setting. It's formed outside of the worship setting. And the fourth spiritual truth I want to share with you is that children are central to the mission of the kingdom. You know, every country has an embassy. And embassy is also called a mission. Every embassy has a purpose. They have a mission. And when we look, and the reason I'm saying that children are central to the mission of the kingdom, because Jesus didn't just tolerate children. In fact, he honored them. He said, receiving them is receiving him. And so children are not distractions from ministry. Children are at the center of ministry. Can be and should be. And today as a church, I believe we are affirming this. Our care for children is not charity. It's kingdom work. When we invest in the lives of children, we join God in advancing his kingdom, shaping the next generation of disciples. And so to social workers, caregivers, and all who support these and other children, thank you. I believe you are participating in one of the clearest expressions of discipleship and kingdom life. You see, the kingdom Jesus speaks of is not just in the future. Yes, we have a future expectation of that kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not just in the future. It's among us now.
And it looks like this. It looks like a child being embraced, a community stepping in, and people learning to trust God more fully. That's what it looks like. And so it may be quiet, it may be hidden, but I believe that it's profoundly powerful. It's really the heart. It's the example, it's the model Christ points us to. And today, as we adopt children, not only in name but in commitment, we declare it with our lives that the kingdom of God is amongst us. The kingdom of God is here. I want to end. I'm going to end kind of quick. Discipleship begins in humility. It thrives in ordinary moments. Discipleship grows through relationship. And it centers on embracing the vulnerable, the weaker amongst us. Dear friends, the road of discipleship is not a fast-paced highway. It's a narrow path that demands attention, presence, and care. And may we walk this road with the heart of a child, open, trusting, full of wonder. And so may we welcome each child in Jesus' name. And in doing so, welcome Him. The one we call Lord. The one we realize is the Messiah. Not only our Messiah, but the Messiah of the world. The Savior of the world. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And my prayer is that our lives would echo that invitation. And so may our congregation, may we not be known for our size or for our status, but for a heart that beats in rhythm with Christ's. Let's pray together. Lord, you see us this morning. You know us intimately. You know all things, Lord. This morning, we, your people, we call on you, Lord, to open our eyes and our hearts, to be available. We ask you to intervene in this, in the many areas of our lives where we need you. Lord, we know we are not perfect. There's no perfect one amongst us. But you do call us to service. In our imperfections, you call us. And that through that process of walking with you, you change us. Lord, help us on this journey. Be with us as you've promised to be. Because your promise is never to leave us or to forsake us. To be with us till the end of the age. And we give you thanks and praise for that. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our last song. Please stand.
Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The world is fortress, the glory divine. Every salvation, purchase of God. All of these children washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect.
I'm going to do the benediction now, send you on your way, but I hope you don't go on your way yet. All right. I also want to ask Stephen and Craig just to come and give me a hand. Just now we're going to, after the benediction, we're going to take some of the goodies out and give to the kids. And please, so I want everybody to stay around. Have some tea, coffee, and chat a bit. And for those, for the new members, we'll do that after. We're still going to do it today. It's not going to take long. So don't go away. All right. Let's receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.